Yeah, I figured we'd start this show by explaining to our listeners that the cold open is exactly that. You never know what I'm going to say.
That's right. I don't even know that you're saying what you're saying right now. I mean, I know I can hear you saying it.
There's a vibration.
But I hear the sound waves digitally modulated across the country, and I hear it, but I have no idea what you will say next. Or if you will say anything next, it may just go silent. And then that will be the coldest open of all.
Okay, so that was a fun way. So now everybody knows the inner workings of the show. And this is episode 42, the Jackie
Trust
Robinson.
Trust me, the less they know, the better.
It's true.
Wait, this 42, Jackie Robinson. Robinson, that's a whole baseball episode thing.
Yeah, I was trying to...
What a jerk I am. I just talked all over you.
I was thinking about that, too. I'm like, you know what? That would have been a cool thing to do, that every episode we would say that, you know, based on the number of a famous player.
Right.
We can say this is the blank episode. So now we only have up until 99. We'll have the Aaron Judge episode, and then we'll be done.
Okay, because we're going to get to 99 someday. Okay.
We're almost halfway there.
That'll happen. Yeah. Okay. It's taken us 14 years to get this far, John.
I bet we're hitting a rhythm. I feel like we've got some sort of momentum, some mojo, some juice that gets us through the show, you know?
Okay. Sure. Okay.
And you're like, I'm not buying it, but okay. I'll go with it. So I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
Neither of us is Jackie Robinson.
No, but this is the Jackie Robinson episode 42, yes. Foul Territory.
Today we break the color barrier.
We did.
By having two white guys talk about baseball.
Yes. We should probably just get into the cool stuff. Do we have a bit? Do we have a
It's thing? Feeling a little white supremacy in here.
Right,
that's
yeah,
all
I wanted
saying.
To move away from that.
Yeah. I just started thinking off the top of my head, like, do I know of any baseball podcasts where there is anything other than white people talking about it? I don't think that there is.
I don't know.
Well, you know what? White people own baseball, so.
Well, until Derek Jeter.
Well, that's why no one's kneeling for the national anthem in baseball. Because they know all the white supremacists running everything will shut it all down.
That is true.
That's not true.
I don't know if it's true.
There probably just aren't enough African Americans in the sport itself for them to want to do that.
Yeah, it used to be. I mean, now that number has dwindled quite a bit. You have a lot of Latino players in the game now, and
who strangely are fervently pro America, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not, I guess not strangely, these are people who come from, like, you know, bad, for lack of a better word, socialist countries where everyone's in poverty, but hey, they all have healthcare, sort of.
Yeah, we have Australian players. We even with the was it the Lithuanian guys that were playing for the Pirates that we talked about way back earlier in the season. So yeah,
it's a veritable melting pot, John.
It is. It is. You can't see color in baseball anymore.
Well, I mean, except for the colors of the uniforms,
right? So. Right. Especially
that helps
one
to differentiate
weekend,
the teams.
That players' weekend. Oof.
Oh,
hope they don't do that again.
Those were people of color I had no interest in being around.
Right. So it's been a rather interesting week. You know, last week we kind of joked around that by the time we do our next podcast, we'll know who's going to be in the playoffs. And we've got, not in the playoffs, but in the next round. And we've got three of the four.
Yeah, you know what we should do right now is, okay, we're going to talk about some of these series because some interesting stuff. But right now we're recording. We don't know whether the Cubs or the Nationals have won.
Mm.
Right?
Right.
So here's what I propose. For the next minute, we talk about how the Cubs won.
Okay.
And then the minute after that, we talk about how the Nationals won.
Sounds good.
Okay, good. So here we go, starting now. Wow. You know, for the Cubs to win this series, very impressive by them. You know, I think they got a little help from Dusty Baker on the other side. But I don't think a lot of teams really thought the Cubs, or a lot of fans or teams, I guess, because there are fans on teams and teams that were probably thinking this too. I don't think that this was the same Cubs team from last year. And I thought that they would just, a lot of people thought they would just be like, well, the Nationals are the team to beat over there in that series. And then the Nationals will win. And the Nationals just didn't have it.
Right. And the fact that the Cubs won with Kyle Schwarber setting a record for five errors in one game is still pretty amazing.
And they have to trade him, right?
Like they do. Like, absolutely.
They have to trade him. Like, yeah. I know he's a great guy. I'm sure he might even be the greatest guy. Good. He helped you win a World Series. Now, either trade him or Rizzo, so you don't have two first basemen playing the out. Okay, that's 1 minute. All right. Wow. The Nationals.
What a comeback, huh?
What a comeback. You know, it looked like the Cubs were going to, you know, sneak in and fool everyone. But the Nationals, despite Dusty Baker's shenanigans, hey, I'll bet Jason Wirth second. Why not? Right. They were able to pull it off. Strasburg with the huge, I'm not feeling very well, I might have diarrhea. No, those are not slide marks on my pants from running the bases. That is poop. Strasburg.
That was pretty gutsy performance, as they say in the vernacular.
Yes. An irritable bowel syndrome gutsy performance.
So what a game, what a matchup now, huh?
Yeah, so now it's on to the Dodgers. Who's going to lose to the Dodgers?
Right.
All right, good. That's a minute. All right, good. That was fun. Now we're covered either way. Let's talk about the Dodgers.
Let's talk about the Dodgers, who just the veritable buzzsaw right through the Diamondbacks.
Which is what I said, right?
Right.
Isn't this what I was saying?
Yeah.
The Diamondbacks have had some success against the Dodgers, said everyone in baseball. Remember, it was 20-10 at ESPN saying the Dodgers would win. 10 people thought the Diamondbacks would beat the Dodgers.
Yeah, and that was the only series that was a sweep.
Exactly.
And it was a dominant sweep.
Because the Dodgers are a monster team.
Well, I think there was a little bit of the losing streak hangover, even though they won, eight out of their last 10 games, something like that.
Yeah, Dodgers.
Yeah.
When did they start the losing streak? When basically everyone else in their division had been eliminated. They were, 21 games up on the next best team?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're a Dodgers fan, it was awesome. But if you're a Diamondback fan or a baseball fan, you kind of felt a little bit bad for the Diamondbacks because they just did not look like a playoff team at all.
Oh, is that how other people felt? Because I just enjoyed watching the Dodgers cream them. Here was the weird thing, though. Clayton Kershaw gave up 4 solo home runs.
Yeah, in that one game. That was crazy.
And
they still
won.
And
it wasn't like he gave them up to all their power hitters, too. I mean, I think he did give one up to J.D. Martinez. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, I think it was J.D. So that
Mathis?
Yeah, I'm assuming that was the first time in his career he's given up four home runs in a game.
I can't even bring myself to look it up. It was so distressing to watch.
And it was distressing to watch him because he was befuddled every time he gave up a home run. The look on his face was like, what?
Yeah.
It was like, did I just do that? He just seemed just baffled by it. And they still won.
Yeah.
You know, you give up four solo. They were all solo shots, right? I believe.
Yeah, all solo.
Yeah. So, yeah, no damage done. Bats picked them up. All good. But that you know, does that give you, as a part-time Dodgers fan, does that give you any pause for concern about him in continuing his playoff struggles?
What do you mean playoff struggles?
Historic. He's, 4-7 with a 5.7 ERA
in the
playoffs?
Wait, hold on a second. That's not true.
Yeah, it is.
Last year, he was absolutely dominant.
He was dominant.
He was
dominator.
Hold on. Kershaw. I'm going to Google this on the Google.
Okay, see what the Google says.
Okay, so postseason career, 5-7 with a 4.63 ERA.
That's not very Kershawian.
That's not very Kershaw, but 1.16 WHIP.
Yeah, that's pretty darn good.
And that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Plus 113 strikeouts in 95 innings.
And when you're doing that and you're giving up solo home runs with nobody on base, obviously, then you're limiting the damage. So the WHIP definitely makes a big difference there.
Yeah.
But I know you have this a little bit further down in the list, and you can't not bring it up almost right off the bat. But what was going on with every Cy Young candidate being shelled to the nth degree in the playoffs? What was that?
It was so weird. Like, everyone, I mean, I guess I hate to say, but against the Red Sox, the Verlander and Keuchel didn't have any problems, but over in the American League, Sale got hammered in his start and hammered 7 earned runs in his first ever playoff start.
Yeah.
And Kershaw, that's not 4 solo home runs is not very good.
And Kluber. too.
Kluber. We'll get to this Yankee series now. We might as well. But Kluber was like the big oof. That's what I'm going to call it. I'm going to call it the big oof.
Yeah, and he said that he's healthy. You know, so I guess people were questioning, you know.
Yeah. What his problem was? His fastball that has all that crazy movement.
Didn't move
and settled out over the middle of the plate.
Yeah.
And you know what happens? Yeah. Didi Gregorius home runs. That's what happens.
He turned Didi Gregorius into a household name, which is kind of hard to do.
Yeah. I mean, just phonetically.
Right. That's what I meant. Most people are going to just say Didi.
It's a little bit like Family Guy, right? Giggity, giggity.
Right. Well, I was listening to the Yankees broadcasters on the game two of the series when they were up 8-3, and the broadcasters were like, "Well, with our bullpen, it's John, what's his name, and this woman who I'd never listened to theirs, but I have the MLB package, and unfortunately, the MLB package does not include the video broadcast, but you can listen to the radio broadcast for."
It includes the video broadcast for any game shown on Fox.
Oh, but not. Okay.
And this I don't understand at all. Like, show the TBS feed, but show their commercials. TBS, you now have more viewers. I don't understand.
Right. This was like kind of like, oh, I have to pay an extra $25 just to see the playoffs.
Even if you pay the extra $25, you don't get to see all games.
Oh, yeah. That's no good.
Yeah.
It's BS.
No, it is BS. So I'm on a TBS app.
Yeah, me too. Do the same thing.
The Fox Sports app lets me screen mirror to my television.
That's
cool. The TBS app does not let me do that.
Yeah, so I was listening to the announcer's broadcast, and they were saying
listeners, that's John's way of telling me no one cares.
I'm just trying to get back to the point.
I know, but no one cares about what I was saying.
So the broadcasters are talking about, well, with an 8-3 lead, the Yankees, this one's pretty locked up. With the bullpen that we have, there's no way we're going to give up this lead. In so many words, that this series is evened up, and then they wind up losing, which I really do think that would have cost Girardi his job had they not won the series.
Yes.
Because that was like baffling to me.
Now they're stuck with him for at least another year.
Yeah. Although his contract is up. He's a lame duck, which, you know, is kind of
tough. Contract is up? I didn't know that.
I believe it is, yeah. So
he had the one more year.
I think he can walk at the end of this year.
Wow. That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Wouldn't it be interesting if he went to the Red Sox?
Ugh.
We'll talk about that.
I don't think he's a very good manager.
He's definitely a player's manager, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's a jerk.
Well, I liked his brief stint with the Marlins when he won Manager of the Year and was fired because Loria didn't like him.
Loria. The legacy remains. Yeah. Hewn into the living rock.
Stain on humanity. For sure. So,
to recap, for people who don't know, the Yankees were down 2-0 and won the last 3 games of the series to win the series and to move on to play the Astros. Now, for those of you who think down 2-0 and coming back to win, like, that's pretty impressive, isn't it? Yes, it's very impressive. It's not quite as impressive as being down 3-0.
Right, and coming back.
And every chance I get to bring this up, I will. The Red Sox in 2004 were down 3-0. One game, and they're out. And they won 4 in a row to shove it down the Yankees' throats and then go on to sweep the World Series. Anyway, that doesn't really apply here, but it's an interesting note for us Red Sox fans who are having trouble dealing with the Yankees winning.
Now, it is a little bit of a strange thing because the Yankees have not been, I want to say they're not mediocre, but they have not been, you know, Yankee-esque, you know, historically for the last 5 years. And now they're... The Yankees did the smart thing by trading all the assets that they did 2 seasons ago or last season too, and restocking. And they have a ton of young players coming up, so they're doing the right. I'm surprised that they flipped the script so quickly and were, you know, Aaron Judge.
It does feel like it's a year or two ahead of schedule.
Yeah, it does. Definitely does. But I also think this matchup going in is going to be a slugfest.
Yeah.
You know,
but anyway, let's go back to the Indians thing, right?
Okay, back to the Indians.
We can preview the other series when we're all done with the reviews.
Okay.
Okay, so they're down 2-0. They win a game 1-0 off of a Greg Bird home run. Andrew Miller, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who, by the way, might be worth keeping if you're in a keeper league.
I'm keeping him.
Up until maybe the last 2 weeks of the season, I had advised someone I know to not keep him in their fantasy right. baseball. Because, like, you just get him in free agency for the same price or less.
Yeah,
Now there's going to be enough heat on him that
that
there's no way you get him for that low price.
Yeah, I would agree with that assessment. I will pass
that. Now, whether he'll be worth that at the end of the next season.
Don't know, but it's a roll of the dice. Yeah, but definitely exactly. Roll of the dice. Yeah, he's not going to get him for
the
price.
So they win 1-0.
And so that was a pretty majestic moment, considering that Miller lefty lefty matchup, and the way that Miller is against lefties is it just dominates, and that was pretty.
But that was Carrasco, right, versus Severino, right, who had that terrible first
horrible.
Game in the wild card game.
Didn't even make it out of the first inning.
Yeah, he was pulled in the
second inning. Yeah, I think it was.
No, he pulled in the first inning. I think he had a third of an inning pitched.
Yeah.
And the Yankees basically pulled him and did something that's called bullpenning, or inadvertently they were bullpenning. That's a game where you're just throwing relief pitchers from the beginning to the end.
And sometimes they do that during the regular season when they have an injury or they want to give someone an extra day rest. They'll do that, you know.
Right.
And they
there are some who feel this might be
the trend,
the future of baseball.
Because it worked last year.
Part of the future of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Is a heavy reliance on.
Yeah, and we talked about this last year at the end of the playoffs, talking about is that something, or it was at the end of the playoffs. Oh, no, it wasn't.
I think it was at the beginning of this season, because last year at the end of the playoffs, I was still in a spiral of agony.
So it was, will that really be something that catches on, and really is that something that is sustainable across 162 games when you're working people that way? If you have 12 pitchers on your staff and everybody's working two or three innings at a time, Could be.
Maybe 30 years from now it devolves into that, but I still feel like the starting pitcher.
The economics demand that, though, right now.
But you think about it, like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, pitchers averaged 20% more innings than they currently do.
Back in, I think it was the 1980 or 81 season, Billy Martin was the manager of the Oakland A's, and they had four starters over 300 innings.
Right. And then it was down at like the end of the year 2000, it was around 250.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's really around 200. I mean, there's some guys with like 220, 230, but it's really come down.
Yeah, quite a bit.
Quite a bit. Plus you have like giving the starters extra rest, like the Dodgers rotating guys in and out of the disabled list. Anyway.
And I'm not a very good baseball, podcaster if I wasn't aware of this, and I wasn't, that the Yankees had the best bullpen in baseball. I didn't know that. Did you know that? Statistically the best bullpen.
I mean, I'm sure there are some statistics that show that.
Yeah. You don't spend a lot of time looking at the Yankee bullpen stats, do you?
But also I also know that well, a lot of that's fueled by, Adam Warren and Chad Green and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I do know that they were, in the top whatever, by every metric, they were in the top three or four. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was surprised.
And that's how the team was built, like mediocre starting pitching. Not that Severino's mediocre, but he is mediocre because look at the two starts that he had in the playoffs.
Right.
One was brilliant and one was the worst.
In recent history, for sure. When you have your ace get, shit canned. Yeah, that was pretty bad.
I mean, my only thing about the series for Terry Francona was I was surprised he started Bauer the second time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had heard at the beginning of the series that his plan was just to start him the once and then do the rest of it. And they lost that game pretty handily, but I think a lot of that had to do with errors too. I think Urshela was giving up extra outs over at third base, which of course is funny. It's always funny to see a defensive replacement come in and
I think that happened twice in the series. That happened.
Yeah,
but yesterday in the game yesterday when they gave up those insurance runs on that error at the end, was like, whoa.
Yeah,
that was surprising. It almost was. It was like. Not that Lindor did it intentionally. It was a short hop, but still, it's like you smother that ball. You block that with your body.
Yeah, that was a terrible throw and a terrible response to a terrible throw. But, you know, the thing about that game was those Gregorius home runs. Like, mm-hmm. as soon as he hits the second one and they're up three to nothing, and somehow CC Sabathia, who was
reincarnated.
He was and he wasn't, right? Like, all of a sudden the wheels fell off the cart, but Girardi knew to pull him out.
Right.
It was looking like a pitching performance for the ages, and then it.
But I expected if they got four or five good innings out of him, good innings meaning he'd give up two or three runs, that would be that would be bliss for Girardi, is that if he could go that far, and he did.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't expecting.
Oh, I got it. Hold on, I got a joke, John. I just thought of a joke. It was looking like it was going to be a joke for a pitch for the ages. But it wound up being a pitch from the aged. No?
Yeah, that was good. Yeah. I like it.
I don't know.
On the spot.
Yeah.
Maybe just don't announce it. Maybe it would hit harder if you didn't announce it.
Oh. Okay, well, you're the professional, John.
Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. You schooled
Thanks
me
for the
couple,
edits.
You schooled me a couple episodes. I know everything now.
Yeah, no, what they got out of him was what they probably hoped for.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. The top four batters on the Indians stopped hitting.
Yeah, unbelievably.
For whatever reason, Jose Ramirez turned into a strikeout machine.
Yeah.
And we've been talking about him MVP all the last second half of the season. He just turned into a strikeout machine. You know what he turned into? Aaron Judge.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, set a major league record for number of games with four strikeouts. In the first time in the history of
But all people will remember for him is his two-run double in the robbing of the home run. And that's really all that matters.
Yeah.
Because won. If
all
they lost,
I'm going to remember
lost,
are all the strikeouts.
If they had lost, though, they would have definitely pointed at him.
Yeah.
It would have been like, you know, where was Aaron Judge?
Yeah. And now, since the Indians lost, we're going to say, where was Jose Ramirez? Edwin Encarnacion sprained his ankle. That might have been the thing that sank this team. But all the top four, even Lindor, his bat was quiet. And Kipnis, and the only person who really hit was Jay Bruce. Mm-hmm. And you can't have one guy hitting. And then to have your pitching fall apart. And I think really the story here is Corey Kluber. Like, his two starts against the Yankees were just embarrassing.
Yeah, you expect two wins.
You expect two dominant performances. Mm-hmm. Because this guy gave up more runs in two playoff games than he did in September.
Right. I know. That was just unbelievable number.
It was shocking to watch.
His ERA was like 0.8 in September.
No, it was crazy. And then it just turned off against the Yankees in the playoffs. I don't know what happened other than just baseball.
And his post game, I don't know, it wasn't even a press conference, but when he was talking with reporters, they were asking him, you know, like, what happened, you know, trying to make it sound like the Indians failed. And he said, I thought it was real classy of him. He said, for me to say that would give, would demean what the Yankees accomplished, and I'm not going to do that.
So that's what a loser says.
That was classy.
Is it classy? How about this? We were not very good.
Yeah. They weren't. But I think, you know, his point was that I'm going to give the Yankees some credit for the fact that we were not very good.
Yeah, okay. All right.
So sometimes pitching does make a difference, and sometimes hitting makes a difference. So it is weird, though, when you have the top four of your – I mean, it was like – it was same with Boston.
Yeah.
Same thing. The Red Sox got all of their runs from their 5 through 9 hitters.
Yeah.
And it just was like, what is going on when, you know – something
I mean, it's
like
short
that.
Series, right? And this happens in baseball all the time. Mookie Betts will have like four games where he doesn't get a hit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it happens.
Right.
But it's if the four games are playoff games, all of a sudden it's like, whoa, what's happening?
But that's also fun, though, in the playoffs is when you have someone like Didi Gregorius do what he did.
Yeah.
It makes, you know, it turns somebody into a hero.
And I'm
going
to give kudos to Joe Girardi, which I don't like, giving kudos to anyone because it sounds weird. And second of all, I think he's a jerk, and I don't think he's a very good manager, but he bet Didi Gregorius third in that game.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what numbers he was looking at, but I get the feeling he knew that Gregorius had Kluber's number somehow.
Well, I think what he did, and I think he moved Gregorius up the game before that, and the reason why was because Judge and Sanchez were just striking out, and he wanted to separate the two of them.
I see.
Because it was kind of like two outs in a
to
row.
To add someone else to strike out? Because Gregorius going into the game was batting 120 in the playoffs.
Oh, was he? Yeah.
Yeah.
Worked.
It worked.
And that's, you know, dumb luck, I would think.
Dumb luck or or good process or bad process and good luck, I don't know.
Yeah, that's you can't predict stuff like that. You know,
you can't really predict baseball, man.
No, no.
Anyway, that was the only reason why I actually enjoyed watching the Yankees win. That, and I think it makes the road for the Dodgers to win the World Series easier, because I think the Indians were the team that could beat that had the best chance of shutting down the Dodgers with that starting pitching. But I think they just made it easier for the Astros and easier for the Dodgers. In my opinion, right. Yes. I am not saying that those things will happen. I'm just talking about probabilities here.
Probabilities based on statistics and, you know.
But I love that thing about baseball where, you know, like, even if it's the Yankees, but, you know, like, whatever. You know, you can only hate. There's only so much hate that a person can have, you know.
You just want to spread it around.
No, it's not spreading it around. It's just a question of, like, look, yes, I don't want the Yankees to win. Absolutely. But at the same time, to see a team come from behind and show everyone why baseball is the best sport in the world, I think that's cool.
Yeah. You say put to shame the 30.
I am cutting myself right now, just so you know. just so you know, I have a sharp object digging into my left forearm.
As you're saying these things?
As I'm saying these positive things about the Yankees.
But the
John, there's a lot of blood over here.
There was we talked about this last week, the predictions at ESPN. All 30 of the writers that did their predictions predicted that the Indians would win this first round, whoever they play.
Right. Yeah.
And I think it was 26-4 that the Yankees were going to win the wild card game, and then 30 zip for them, whoever they played. And that did not happen.
Because the Indians, like, literally right up until the playoffs, were a buzzsaw.
Right.
They were just shutting out everyone.
And we talked about this a couple weeks ago. It was probably better for the Dodgers to go through what they did.
Right.
You know, kind of get the funk out of their heads and move into the playoffs.
It sounds like
humbled,
hocus pocus, but there is something to it.
Yeah, and the Indians, I think, definitely walked into the playoffs, were the best team. Cocks of the walk, and that they were going to, you know, just, you know, dominate.
Yeah.
There's a psychology there a little bit, I think.
Yeah. Well, I've noticed this in the NCAA tournament is the team that wins, there's always one game where they almost didn't win.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get that out of their system, and then they win.
Yeah. Also fitting that you probably don't want to give credit for that, but I love these senior moments. The Yankees closer.
Chapman?
Chapman. After what he suffered through, even though they eventually won, the Cubs won last year and giving up that home run in the ninth inning. He comes back to Cleveland and is able to, you know, close.
Yeah, no, he slammed the door.
Yeah.
He shut the door. He slammed it. He threw it across the room, and then he went into his garage and fired a gun.
But that look on his face that they show the close up after he got the last out, I was just petrified. It scared me. It just looked demonic. I don't know if you saw it, but it just was ugh.
Yeah,
that's gonna be memed for sure. There's no doubt about that. Okay,
there's
about
a pretty good chance that's a violent dude.
Yeah, a little bit. He's a
allegedly.
Big boy. He's a big boy. What about on the other side, the National? Did we want to talk about the Red Sox or you?
Yeah, let's talk about the Red Sox. I thought this was very interesting. First of all, I thought they had about a 20% chance of winning.
And you said that. You were knew that from the beginning.
This is a good team that can't hit home runs, and guess what? They went up against a very good team that can hit home runs. Mm-hmm. And they were down, two games to none? Pretty quickly. I think it got hammered pretty quickly.
Yeah, eight,
I think actually,
first two games they lost 8-3, both games.
Yeah, and I think the Astros set some sort of record with that too, which is great, whatever. This is not a great Red Sox team. I was very surprised that Chris Sale got hammered in that first game, but again, we were talking about so many of the great pitchers got
were except not for
great.
David Price.
Well, David Price
was the man.
All of a sudden, the $30 million a year reliever. Fantastic. But he does look like he's got his stuff back, and so maybe he can start next year and do, you know, 20, 25 starts and be ready for the playoffs. It's a good team.
I think he's one player that appreciates that Farrell is gone.
Yes. And yeah, we'll talk about that a bit too. So yeah, 5 years in, John Farrell was fired. I think he needed to get to the next round to keep his job. And he may have needed to go a little bit further. I mean, he won them a World Series back in 2013. I think, was that his first year? 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Yeah. That was his first year. I think he had, I think he was an okay manager, but I think his in-game stuff was a little bit too wonky. And, you know, I think Dombrowski probably wants to bring in his own guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dombrowski came over, whatever, a year or so ago. And I think that they, every general manager that comes in wants to bring in their own guy. And right. So there's always a bit of a trigger finger.
Is that going
to
be Brad Ausmus?
I don't know if it's Brad Ausmus. I've heard a lot of people saying Alex Cora, because mm-hmm. he used to play for the Red Sox, and everyone's talking him up with the Astros, but there might be a lot of competition for him.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I would love if they got an African-American manager in Boston. I know you shouldn't hire just for that reason.
But that would, Boston would have to take a deep breath.
Yeah, I just think that that would be great for
Dusty
the city.
Baker? And,
okay, never mind. Let's go. White makes right.
Yeah.
Never mind. You know what? How about Hispanic? I'll take a Hispanic player. Joey Cora.
That was, I think, the similar to the other series, that the thing with the Red Sox was that, you know, the power rating, obviously, but the top of the lineup did not produce and the starting pitching did not produce. And that happened in both those series.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. They won the third game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they actually dominated the, I think they won 8-3.
10-3, I think it was. 10-3.
10-3. That's right. 10-3. And so in the fourth game, which they wound up losing, it was funny. They were trying to, the two managers, well, Farrell got ejected at some point, which, first of all, you don't get ejected from a playoff game when you're an elimination game. You just don't do it, mm-hmm. John Farrell. And that, to me, when he got ejected, I was like, and you just saw the last time John Farrell would, in a Red Sox uniform.
Yeah, that's kind of the bad way to go out. The last time that you managed, you were ejected from a playoff game. That pretty much sums.
Well, it's bad managing to push it that far.
But I think
you can push it.
I think the reason why he did it, because Pedroia would have been thrown out if he didn't. So he went out there and just chewed out.
Yeah, a playoff game needs a good manager more than it needs Dustin Pedroia.
Okay.
Period. Like, it just needs it. Right? And what happened? They bring in Sale for relief pitching. First of all, if you're going to bring in Chris Sale, why not start him?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're much better off starting Chris Sale for however many innings, 4 innings, 5 innings, and then bringing in, first of all, starting Doug Fister in any game was silly.
He lasted 1 1/3, I think?
Yeah. Anyway, so then you bring in Chris Sale, and you let him do as much as he can do until he starts to lose it, which, by the way, they didn't do. They brought him in for 4 innings, and I was watching the game. I was actually in a bar over here in Midtown, and I was watching, and it was just like, you know what? He's gassed. And then the next batter up, he gives up a home run. Like, they should have brought in the relievers. They had a 3-2 lead because A.J. Hinch over on the other side had made a terrible move in bringing in Verlander with a runner on.
Mm.
Verlander had never pitched in relief as an adult.
Right.
And to come in with a runner on base already, like, bring in a relief pitcher for that. And then bring in Verlander. Right. And if Verlander comes in and gives up a 2-run home run, the Red Sox are up 3-2. And my thought was, A, the Red Sox will not score again in this game. They did wind up scoring one more time, but one run too short. And, like, that's where you need a good manager, is the manager who can look out and see that Chris Sale is flagging and just say, you know what, Chris, thank you. 4 innings, incredible. One for the ages. You're going to get the win here if we, not that wins matter, but we're going to close this out with the bullpen. And then what happened anyway, he gives up a base hit Chris Sale winds up getting the loss. He gives up a home run and a base hit, and they wind up having to pitch 2 innings with Kimbrel anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So why not just bring Kimbrel in like the Yankees did last night? 2 full innings for Chapman, 2 full innings for Kimbrel. Why not do that? Well, that's just bad managing. It cost them the game, cost them the series. I still think Houston would have won the fifth game, but, you know, hey, you go to Houston, all of a sudden my 20% chance of winning the series becomes 45%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You get a couple of lucky hits. I mean, I don't know if you saw the inside the park home run for Rafael Devers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty pretty amazing.
That was exciting. Yeah. That would have been an amazing way to tie up the game, but Kimbrel gave up that off-the-wall double to Beltran to score an extra run.
Well, so the two names that kind of emerged from the swamp of the end of the season for the Red Sox were Devers and Price.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, David Price out of the bullpen, that's not where we want him, but he looked good.
Right.
And
but
that
dominance.
Gives us hope. Yeah, it gives us hope for next year. Like, and he was talking cocky dominant. In the press conference after.
Yeah.
Which is good. It means he's like, give me the ball. I'm ready. I want to be back in the rotation and pitching again.
Yeah.
And Devers
He pitched one game and then he's like, when are you going to be ready? I'm ready tomorrow.
Right. Right. He was.
Get me back out there.
Yeah. And Devers is a superstar. He's already, you know, on his way.
He's 20 years old.
Yeah, and the stage is not too big for him by any means.
No, he owns it. And this is why, as a Red Sox fan, it's kind of like, all right, well, you know, take your lumps and then maybe you go out in the offseason and you get yourself like a JD Martinez, you know, to get that power bat. You know, there's going to be some power bats out there for, you know, reasonable prices. And, you know, I don't know if Devers should stay at third base. He might just be a designated hitter. He's a little sloppy over there sometimes. Yeah. So you can either get him to mature, you know, give him one more season at that position, or just stick him at DH and let him hit the snot out of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an exciting – I'm excited for the future of the team. I think I'm excited for the Yankees and the Red Sox. They both have very good core.
Yeah, and when both of those teams are good, that's good for the sport.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the ratings, right? Like how excited is everyone that it's Yankees versus Astros and Dodgers versus
If Nationals by chance the Yankees Cubs, and I mean, Dodgers get, you know, hook up for a rematch, that will be you know, ratings off the charts.
You know, the guys over at Fox are just like, they got the voodoo dolls out.
Right.
They're pulling out all the stops.
So that was what
they're calling the umpires, like, hey, if you want to make that strike zone a little smaller for the Astros, that's okay with us.
Didn't they played twice back in the 70s and early 80s?
Yeah.
So that would be good for baseball.
I think the Yankees won one and the Dodgers won one, I think.
Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much where we are right now. Do you want to even, you know, brief prediction on who wins? Obviously, I think you think the Astros.
Who's going to the World Series? Yeah. Astros, Dodgers. I think. Astros, I mean, Dodgers. That's the probability, right? Mm-hmm. Like good for the Yankees, but this feels a little bit like a team that, like, pulled out all the miracles. And now they're just going to hit up against the Astros.
Yeah, because if the Astros starting pitches the way that it did against the Red Sox, I think it will silence some of the big bats the Yankees have. But if the Yankee bats can contribute, it's going to – I mean, there could be a lot of, 8-7 ball games in that series.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if it's more like that. I mean, this Astros lineup is the best lineup in baseball. And I think, you know, I think that this – I think the Yankees bullpen is great. I think it's great.
We'll see what happens. That's why they play the game.
It's the starters.
Yeah.
That is why they play the games, John.
So we have a couple of – one other note from the Houston series. Altuve's 3 home runs in game one.
Yeah, I think he wound up hitting 4 or 5. He's a shocking player. He's such a little guy.
Yeah.
I mean, a couple of those were off of Chris Sale, too. Like, this is – I mean, that first game, his slider just wasn't biting, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so is this kind of – and again, this is what happens in baseball. Kluber's fastball doesn't move. All of a sudden, even if it's just a couple times, all of a sudden it's home run city, you know, because it's right down the middle of the plate. And this is – blah, blah, blah. Sorry, I'm getting a little excited here. This is what was happening with Sale, with his slider just wasn't biting and just like, good. Crank it out.
Yeah, Francona said that about Kluber last night. He said it's just was flat. It wasn't his usual movement wasn't there. He was you know stuff that was supposed to move away, moved from the inside part of the plate to the middle.
Yeah,
and he became very hittable.
Yeah, and even then, not extremely hittable. Just twice to D.D. Gregorius.
Yeah. He didn't pitch a horrible game.
The funny thing about baseball to me that I love and I hate, because I love it when it happens in my favor, but I hate it when it happens against me, is that anyone can hit a home run.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and completely change the course of a game. And you could have like David Eckstein being a World Series MVP, or you could have like last year with the Indians beating the Red Sox, where Roberto Perez, or is this Perez? Carlos Perez? I don't know. The catcher.
Mm-hmm.
The catcher. I don't know. Why am I saying it like that? The catcher. The catcher for the Indians hit that home run off Porcello, and that was basically the end of the series. Like, mm-hmm. but like he's batting 200 for his career.
Right.
Perez. Right. Like, yeah, he's not very good.
Yeah, it's more that the pitcher hit the bat than the batter hit the pitch in those situations.
But,
and that
you know,
happens.
If you swing a bat
right
at a thrown baseball, there's a chance you can hit a home run.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that hits all the high notes there, doesn't it? Did you want to say anything more about the Dodgers? You know, they definitely were dominant.
No, they're the best. They're the best team in baseball right now. We'll and see. I mean, who knows? Maybe they fall apart in the next round. Doesn't matter.
And they get those extra days of rest, too, so that definitely helps them in their favor.
Yeah, they can line up their starting rotation the way they want, and here you've got their opponent, the Cubs and the Nationals, having to burn everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they both teams, everyone will be in the bullpen for this one.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's interesting, because, like, what are the – if they burn Scherzer and Gonzalez today, the Nationals do – then who's their starter? Is it like Tanner Roark?
Well, they're saying that it's either Roark or Gonzalez tonight. Is it tonight? Is the game? What time is the game today?
8 o'clock. 8 o'clock Eastern.
Okay, prime time.
But they're talking about bringing Scherzer in relief.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying if they burn that, then
Who starts the next game? Right.
Then who starts the next game? And then you can probably get when Strasburg pitched on a Wednesday. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Would Sunday be game one?
I think Sunday would be game two.
Game two. So Saturday it starts.
Yeah, Saturday it starts.
So it's only one day between.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's.
I don't even know if they can throw Strasburg on that.
No,
I
don't think they would want to do that.
That's messed up.
Yeah.
That's messed up. Tough. I think the Cubs have a better lineup ready to go rotation-wise. If they make it through, but you know what, you got to make it through to keep going. So,
well, the one thing that we definitely should bring up is that Lester picked somebody off first.
That was exciting.
Although it didn't look pretty, he did get a pickoff. Threw over twice.
A pickoff. Yeah.
One time in the dirt, and the other time he actually made it to the first baseman. So that's historic.
Good for him. Yeah.
And it was
for
in
those
Chicago.
Of you don't know, John Lester does not throw to first base
ever.
Ever.
I mean, you have people dancing off, you know, people halfway to second, and he will not throw.
Yeah.
But that was pretty cool.
And kudos to him. I'm giving out kudos here, John. I don't know what's happened to me.
Kudos for everyone.
Maybe I'm just slathered in kudos myself, and I want to give it to everyone. Or
it
maybe
stops the bleeding.
It's like this new HIV law in California where it's now no longer a felony to intentionally give someone HIV. Maybe it's no longer a felony to give someone kudos.
Well, I understand kudos help stop bleeding, too. So maybe that's why you're just throwing it all over the place.
So wait a minute. If you've got HIV, maybe you need kudos. But probably you don't want kudos for getting HIV.
Right. Yeah.
But maybe now in California, you get kudos for giving HIV? Oh.
No, that's not good.
How is that a thing that went through a legal system, John?
I don't know.
Side note. I'm sorry. What? Well, we're trying to destigmatize being HIV positive. Yeah, no, I get it. It's a deadly disease, though.
Mm-hmm.
If you intentionally give it to someone, you're a bad person. You should go to jail.
Well AIDS is a conspiracy theory anyway. Look it up.
Just ask Magic Johnson. He's got the cure. He won't tell anyone.
he's got to deal with the devil, I think.
Anyway, not to bring in legislative issues, but I was a little surprised, a little concerned the next time I need a blood transfusion. Though, you know, they probably would get it, right?
Right.
Like, all that blood gets checked, and there's just a really small chance that anything would get through, would be misdetection. I mean, you know, when you have the highest paid individuals, testing blood, these are nothing but the highest paid minimum wage union workers you can get.
The Chris Sales of their job. Right. The very best.
Yes. Absolutely. They only hire PhDs to test blood. It's never that they hire minimum wage union workers to do it.
And, you know, in the Chris Sales of the world, they have bad days every once in a while. You just never know.
Exactly. That's great.
That's why we love blood work, right? It's unpredictable.
I was giving someone kudos, John.
You were. I don't remember who you were giving kudos to.
Who was I giving the kudos to? I
don't remember. I'll have to rewind that one.
John, everyone listening right now knows, and I don't know. Why don't I know who I was giving kudos to?
Because you talked about kudos for 5 minutes, so I think we lost track.
Then I turned it into a whole bit about HIV positive.
In laws in California.
Gosh.
Kudos to everyone. It's the Oprah show.
No, not kudos to everyone.
No?
I disagree.
Saving your kudos.
Yeah,
sparingly.
I'm going to hold off on some of these kudos.
Okay. So let's move away from the playoffs.
But someone else out there deserved kudos, and I hope that they know that I thought that for a brief moment.
Right. And if we remember, we'll definitely bring it back up.
Also, moratorium on kudos. So it's now a felony to say kudos on this show.
Okay. Sounds good.
State of New York.
Only in the state of New York, so I can say it. Because I'm protected.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when I go to California next week, then I'll be protected. But I might get HIV unwittingly. So.
And there is other news in baseball besides the playoffs.
Oh, is there?
Yeah. Some free agent trade buzz. Oh, that's
we're
already
right.
starting a hot stove.
Yeah, I created this little category on our show list.
So we have something
free
to talk
agent
about.
Stuff, trade talk. Yeah. Oh. We talked about maybe doing this as the seventh inning stretch, but we're not going to do a seventh inning stretch. I don't know what that is. I still can't figure out what to do on the seventh inning stretch that would be interesting, that wouldn't just be like just some stupid thing. Like, you know what I was thinking of doing this week was like the movies of Nicolas Cage. But then like, why are we talking about why that's so random and weird?
But that makes it fun.
Is it though?
Is it? I think it is. I think it's,
I don't know. I feel like that's a separate show. Like do
you know what it is?
You want to talk about
you know what
the
it is? It's
Nicolas
a curveball. It's a curveball.
How about Trouble with the Curve?
But other baseball news. We have Jose Bautista released quietly into the night.
Yes.
Not
or
a big
put
surprise.
Out to pasture, as some might say.
Wow, what a difference 365 days makes. Last year at the end of the season, he was talking about getting a five-year deal. Or that's what he wanted.
Not just a five-year deal, but a five-year $150 million.
$125 million.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And he wound up getting, what, nine?
I don't remember.
This year with an option for next year, and the team did not pick up the option.
Yeah.
They were like, you know what? Go be bad somewhere else.
Yeah, he miscalculated his value for sure. He should have signed an extension a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Was it 2 years ago that he was hurt? The year before, he had a decent season. So I think it was like 3 years ago. So it's been a while since he's been.
May not have had the chance to do it.
Yeah.
It could just be one of those things, one of those just poorly timed. You know,
yeah, those $100 million errors definitely hurt.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, laughing all the way to the bank. He's done fine.
Yeah.
And then we have.
It does seem like he would be done, right? Like
with
the market so flush with power hitters.
Yeah. Especially
him not actually being a power hitter anymore.
Right. Especially when, you know, the numbers are up, a lot more home runs, and he's not one of the guys doing it. Yeah. What's the value of somebody like that? And he's not necessarily a clubhouse guy.
Yeah. You know what I'd love to see, though? And I'd love to make a film about this someday is because I started researching it when Euclid went to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And just that guy who goes to Japan for one last season,
mm-hmm.
I think that's the coolest.
Wasn't there a movie with Tom Selleck that did that?
No, not like that. Like a documentary film.
Oh, documentary. Okay, gotcha.
Not Mr. Baseball.
Right. Gotcha. Okay, speaking of...
No baseball movies with Mr. in the title. That's the rule.
So there won't be the Mr. Ohtani story?
Okay, there could be, though. Domo Arigato, Mr. Ohtani.
So he had surgery.
Right, so apparently... I was a little bit like, oh, and like, no, apparently he's had this ankle thing for like a year. And apparently this is like him getting better prepared. Like, this kid wants to play in the major leagues, in American major leagues.
In the worst way, yeah.
In the worst way. Like, he's like, I'm going to get this ankle repaired during, you know, to prepare in advance during the offseason. Before I even sign, I'm going to get this fixed so I'm ready to go.
As they say in the biz, cleaned up. He wanted to get his ankle cleaned up.
Getting it cleaned up. So it's. I was a little worried at first, but then it turned out it was just something he's been dealing with for a year and hasn't really affected his performance that much, but probably a little bit.
Right. And little nagging little injury, like a hangnail.
Yeah, so it was just exact. Well, maybe a little bit more than a hangnail, but it had not prevented him from playing.
Right.
And good for him. I'm excited. You know, we've been downplaying this a little bit, John, but this is going to turn into a whole thing for like 2 weeks.
It is.
When this thing starts. When the Ohtani people hit the go button on he's coming to America.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's already buzz out here in Seattle because they have, you know, connections, you know, through the players that they've had in their
plus
system.
They're in the American League, and I would be stunned if he doesn't play in the American League.
Yeah, he's got to get some at bats. There's no doubt about it.
And if you put him in the National League, he can pitch, but then he has to play the field.
Right.
To recoup that other value that he has. Mm-hmm. And then you can't have him play the outfield because he has to throw from the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
And so you endanger that pitching arm by having him throw.
Be nice to, on his days off, he's the DH.
Yeah.
That's going to be cool.
Yeah.
Going to be cool.
Wait a minute. If you're in the American League, can you
bat the pitcher?
Can you give up the DH?
Can
the pitcher...
Yeah, but then you give it up
but
for the game.
But I think if you give up the DH, you give it up for the game.
Right, they wouldn't do that. Yeah, I don't
but
think
you could
would.
Still pinch hit for pitchers later in the game. Okay. I would do it. If you're getting Ohtani, you do whatever.
Right.
Pay all the money, make all the illegal promises behind the scenes, even if it means you're going to get, you know...
Hand slapped or fired GM or something.
Hand slapped or fired, Coppolello'd
that's
over
a new term.
Atlanta.
Turned his last name into a verb.
It's a tough verb.
Yeah, it is a tough
verb. I was hearing something. Apparently, you know, he was not well regarded in the industry. Oh. People thought he was kind of a jerk and kind of an opportunist. And the reason why people called him Coppy wasn't necessarily a term of endearment, just like they're tired of saying his name.
Yeah. That's good. So moving on, we've got the Mets. They acquired Syracuse as a minor league AAA
That's right. Now,
part of their system
most people
now?
Won't care.
Right.
Right? But what this means is that the Mets no longer have Las Vegas as their...
shorter trips, for sure.
Right. And but the problem with Las Vegas, I mean, you know, rest in peace and thoughts and prayers and all that. But it from last week, is that stadium and that league are hitter...
Right. Runs galore.
Hitter zones. Mm-hmm. And so they've actually had pitchers have to, like, adjust how they pitch... for that league, and then it skews their performance. So
I was going to say, it was a double win for them then. Both the
moving it closer.
Yeah.
And I like the idea of spreading it out throughout the country a little bit. Like, I think the Dodgers are pretty well spread out. But, you know, like the Red Sox have, like, Portland, Maine, and... what's the other? Pawtucket there in Rhode Island. So they got some close. And then I know the Phillies are all in Pennsylvania. You could reach all of them in a day's drive. But then, like, the Rockies are in Connecticut and in New Mexico or whatever. So it's...
I can't keep up. Some of them have been in the same places forever, and some of them, you know, switch around. They're, you know, the single A, double A, low A team franchises move around a lot. The Marlins used to be out in Albuquerque. And now they're in New Orleans.
Right, and I think Albuquerque now is Colorado.
Mm-hmm. The Isotopes.
It's weird that they can change the affiliation like that.
Yeah,
isn't it?
And they keep the name. The team keeps the same name.
Yeah, so strange.
Yeah, interesting. I think that, does that take, oh no, Arizona Fall League begins.
Yes, now for those people whose teams are no longer in the playoffs, baseball fans, the Arizona Fall League is an interesting place to check out some of the best young talent. I don't think you need to go there. I'm not saying go there, but if you're looking at, like, who does well in the Arizona Fall League is a pretty good, gives you a pretty good idea who's going to be up next year. Guys who did really well in the Arizona Fall League last year, like Cody Bellinger, maybe you heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
National League Rookie of the Year, probably, right?
Youngest Dodger, youngest Dodger to home run in the postseason.
That's right. And so you're talking about really kind of a lot of the it's mostly hitters, though I saw Justice Sheffield for the Yankees out there through five scoreless a couple days ago.
You keep track of it, huh?
I love it, man. I love it.
Do they have games on TV or on the internet?
Do they stream any games? I think you can track them. Yeah, I think you can track the games, but okay. I don't know if you can actually watch them. Though you might be able to watch them. I mean, why not, you know? You can watch minor league games, so maybe mm-hmm. – I just don't know if they actually televise the games in the first place. So,
well, there's probably
it's interesting to box score scout. You know, yeah. look at that guy hit a couple home runs. Mm-hmm.
No, and I remember when Trout and Harper both were in the Arizona Fall League the same year, and that was probably the only time I ever followed it just to see how they were emerging because there was so much buzz about both of them. Going into their rookie seasons, more Harper than Trout, but Trout definitely rose to the occasion, so to speak.
Yeah.
Best player in baseball.
Yeah.
And potentially second best all time, as we discussed last week.
Yes.
Okay.
Impenetrable. Though Shohei Ohtani has a chance to be the best player in the history of baseball.
Yeah, especially if he does play both sides of the...
That's right.
Yeah. So, okay, that's 50, almost an hour in, and we're into the...
That was on purpose, though.
I know. We had a lot to cover.
I didn't have a seventh inning stretch. And.
But we do have a starting nine.
Yes.
So let's rip. We've got starting nine is a opportunity for Jed to stretch his, flex his creative and funny bone muscle. Yeah. Wow, that's mixed metaphors there, but okay.
Very sexual, John. Thank you.
So for this week...
I'm going to flex my funny bone over here. Don't mind me.
For this week, it's nine players with New York neighborhood-sounding names, and that is in honor of the Yankees winning last night.
Wrong.
Right?
That is in honor of me leaving New York next week.
Okay. Not for good, though.
Right. I'm taking a little...
Sabbatical?
I guess sabbatical, a vacay, not a vacay, just a break. Mm-hmm. Moving to L.A. for a few months and skipping out on the New York winter.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing.
But I like it here very much, and in honor of the city, and I guess whatever.
And the sirens.
Some right? This is my life, man. This is it. I think that's the first siren we've had today. The last couple weeks have been sirens all day.
Yeah, there was actually one a little bit earlier.
Oh, okay.
So this is our
second
siren, yeah.
I wasn't really listening.
I hear him.
I wasn't really listening to anything you were saying or I was saying.
Well, kudos to you.
No, wait, you can do it because you're in Seattle. I'm just going to call the cops right here. All right, so here we go.
Okay.
New York. Let's start off easy, as I always do. Get the cheapos out of the way. Nick Williamsburg.
Okay.
Right. And this is New York City, right, which includes all the boroughs. Except for Staten Island. That's a joke.
That's good comedy.
Although I could do Giancarlo Staten Island.
There you go. That's right? Good.
God damn it. I did Staten Island. Gah!
You have to cover all the boroughs, though. That's the most forgotten borough in New York.
Is Ryan Bronx.
That's good. I like that.
I'm making this up off the top of my head. What else is there?
Are you seriously making these up or did you?
No, no. Bronx.
Oh, you got your list. Okay.
Brooklyn. What is it? Bronx. Yeah. No. Okay. Good. I got one. Here we go. Here's my list. Corey Chelseager.
Yeah. Good.
Chelsea. Yeah. Right. Very nice part of town. Just south of here. Just south of me here in Wei Yin Hell's Chen.
My favorite one Wei-Yin so far. Chen. That's good.
Yeah. Central Parker Bridwell.
Okay.
Yeah. Parker Bridwell.
Yeah.
Angels pitcher.
Yeah.
All right. Eric Sohosmer.
That's good. I like that one.
Bryce Harlemper.
Oh, I'm your laugh track for sure on these.
One of the league's best players, Bryce Harlemper. Asdrubal Cabrera Toria? That didn't work, did it? I see. Astoria. Okay. Well, they can't all be pearls, huh?
Right. Wow. Well, it's all about the pronunciation, how you do that, and how it's.
What about Greenwich, Jonathan Villaredge? Andrew Triggs Becca.
Okay, that's good.
Right.
Uh huh.
Coney I N Kinsler.
I have friend, his friend, only his friends call him Ian.
And last but not least, for Albert Pujols, Flushing.
Albert.
Good old Albert.
Yeah, he's probably, his name has probably appeared on this show more than any other name, and usually not in a good way.
Look, if there's two names that appear in my writing the most, it's Mike Trout and Albert Pujols.
Right. And not for
and
the
same
reason.
It's not because
reasons.
Of Los Angeles. It's because Mike Trout is the greatest player in the modern age, and Albert Pujols was the greatest player in the modern age, but also the greatest name in the history of baseball. I should say the greatest name by the player that was also a great player.
And then also, but you have your Madison Bumgarner, too.
Yeah.
Don't Bumgarner my poo holes.
I have enjoyed the Bumgarner name since he was drafted. I remember thinking, oh, the San Francisco team drafted Bumgarner? Wonder what that's all about. Trying to drive up ticket sales, if you know what I mean. Because gay people like bums.
Garner.
San Francisco has a lot of gay people.
Garner their bums.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it for baseball.
Speaking of gay people, I have tons of gay people.
Excuse me?
In my neighborhood.
Oh.
Here's a weird thing, John. On Twitter, I keep getting ads for gay-related products.
Hmm. Maybe they listen to the podcast.
Maybe they read my writing. Look,
it's the Pujols comments.
Just because I love a man doesn't mean I want to make love to a man.
Right. Right. There's nothing wrong with a man crush.
Right.
Everybody has them.
And there's actually nothing wrong with wanting to have sex with a man. For a man, I'm just saying, for me, I don't want to. And just because I love someone like Mike Trout doesn't mean that it's a sexual thing.
Gay hearts,
it doesn't mean it's
gay
not
hearts
a sexual
are breaking
thing.
All over the internet.
I want to be very clear about something here. It doesn't mean that it's not a sexual thing. It
just means you haven't gone there yet.
It means I haven't been given the opportunity, John. Despite
as they, as
Twitter's
they say,
best
you're,
efforts.
What, three drinks away?
Well, I don't drink, so I'm...
Yeah, I'm with you on that, so it's going to be harder
maybe
to
I'm,
convert
I'm
me.
One opioid epidemic away.
Okay, let's move into extra innings. Let's take a look
sure.
at what's going on outside the world of baseball, because we've covered baseball for over an hour already. So
I would say we covered baseball more in this episode
than we have.
Than
yeah.
Maybe
this
the
is,
last
this
five.
This is like the full baseball episode.
High percentage of baseball-related convo.
Definitely.
Sorry to those of you who aren't baseball fans.
Yeah, I know there's a handful of people who listen to it because they like the sprinkling of other things in there. We've just right. now got to your favorite part. Extra innings. What's going yes. on outside the world of baseball? So we start off with Jerry Jones, and Jerry
right.
Jones just wants to be in those headlines. So he makes the statement that any Cowboy player who disrespects the flag isn't going to play.
Right.
To which the players' union got all in
the
tizzy.
But here's the thing: this is the logical end of this, right? And I don't mean logical meaning that there's any logic to any of this stuff. This is where it has to go because A, Americans love the flag, and Donald Trump put all this attention on all these people kneeling, and then the reaction was more kneeling, right? And the reaction to that was lower ratings. And if there's one thing that all of these media companies and all these football owners want is none of that.
Right. Show me
and
the
And so
money.
They're just saying, like, look, if you kneel, you're going to get a fine or you're going to get suspended or you're not going to play in that game. And that's what the owners have to do then to go back over the top.
But will they? That's the question is, will they?
I think they will. I mean, what would be surprising is if the Cowboys have that rule and then, like, Dak Prescott kneels.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, well, are you really going to start? But you know what?
So in solidarity, the whole team kneels.
Right. See, now that's where you start getting into trouble. But then here's the thing. Maybe they would just say, good, well, five of you this week, five of you the next week.
Right. But then I think the challenge with that, though, is that, you know, there's a certain percentage that are, you know, in an uproar over the current situation. But then there's the people who are like, you know, that they're right. They can do that. I still want to watch my football. Then you start benching people like, I don't want to watch my football if my favorite players aren't playing. So you're alienating two audiences by doing that.
No, this is like a no-win thing.
They're going to get a black eye. It'll stop it. I agree with you that it would stop it. But it's going to, you know, football will go through hell, you know, from a ratings and money perspective as a result of that to fix the problem.
Right.
We'll see.
Hey, so what about this Miami Dolphins guy, huh?
Yeah, what's going on with that? Was he hanging? What was the player they drafted last year that had his photo with the gas mask?
Oh, with
mask
the bong,
on?
The gas mask bong. Oh, gosh, what
Maybe
was his
they were
name?
At a party.
He's trying to one up him. Okay, so I don't remember this guy's name, but he was the offensive line coach. And no joke, no pun intended, he was the line coach. He videotaped himself doing lines of cocaine for his stripper girlfriend or mistress or whatever.
It was a white substance.
Oh, sorry, white substance.
Right.
At work, apparently.
Really?
Yeah. You know, I guess in his office, not necessarily on
the
field.
Hey, honey, look what I'm doing.
No, like, look, hey, babe, I love you so much, I'm going to snort white substance off this table and send you a video of it.
And it showed up on social media?
Well, the girl released it.
Ugh. Not much of a girlfriend there.
No, well, here's the thing. It's a stripper.
Right.
Look, this whole thing about strippers with the heart of gold, sorry, it ain't happening. Strippers are strippers. The whole pretty woman thing. Hate to break it to Gary Marshall, but that's actually not a thing. These are people with like very high suicide rates, drug abuse, constant recipients of violence.
Yeah.
This is not a glamorous life.
It's not
life.
A good world. No.
It's not a good world.
So speaking of not a glamorous life, that would also be said for the U.S. men's national soccer team.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I saw the headline. I read it wrong. They're eliminated from the World Cup. The World Cup isn't happening yet, but they were eliminated from even playing in the World Cup.
They have not qualified. They lost, I think it was to Trinidad and Tobago. The losses that they've had in the qualification rounds have been pathetic. And you talk about, you know, a program that has fallen from grace. That's one of them.
Yeah. I mean, and people are really upset about this. And you can imagine how upset they would be if this was even a real sport.
I'm not a huge fan of the game.
Soccer fans all around the United States falling down to the ground without having been touched.
Right. Over this.
Over this.
Yeah, just fans. You know, that, if you're out today and you do witness people just falling on the ground, chances are pretty good they're soccer fans in a very low moment. Yeah. I'm not a huge fan. I follow the World Cup just to see how it plays out. And, you know, there are some exciting games, but I don't watch every game. I watch the U.S. when they're in it, but I probably won't watch it this year because the U.S. isn't in it, but maybe the final game. But yeah.
Well, here's the thing. The problem with soccer and the World Cup is that the problem with the United States is that the United States is the best at everything.
Except for men's soccer.
Well, here's the thing. Soccer's a woman's sport. And who's the best in the world at this woman's sport?
The U.S. women.
The United States. Yeah. That's right.
I see what you did there.
Something to think about,
John. Yeah. Some people.
Something to think about.
Some people have. So now we move on to the biggest story of the week in all of the world.
Yes. And like so many late night shows and Saturday Night Live, we have waited till the very last moment to talk about this. And I want to say one thing right now about this Harvey Weinstein thing, right? These sexual allegations. The most important thing is that I have nothing to say about it because I want to keep working in this industry.
And that's the state of the union in Hollywood. Or politics, for that matter. You know, because Clinton and, as of yesterday, I think, Obama had not said anything, which has got both sides of the equation all wrapped up in a, you know, they're panties, that there hasn't been anything said. It's a pretty big story, and it hopefully will shed light. And even Terry Crews came out and said he was groped, not by Harvey Weinstein, but by somebody else. And right. I can't imagine someone who's got the balls to go up to Terry Crews and give him a little, you know, how's your undercarriage?
A little honk honk.
All right. Yeah. At a party with his wife standing right next to him and think right. that's okay. So apparently that happens in Hollywood. So much for the casting couch, right? It's not just in the casting couch. It's anywhere and everywhere. You know,
the casting party.
Yeah. If Harvey Weinstein can corner you in a hallway and jerk off in a hallway, no one's safe. Nowhere.
Allegedly. John Hay. Hey, allegedly.
He's not denying it, though. Yeah, crazy.
Well,
the stories
wasn't
that are coming
sort of
out
like
crazy.
Acknowledging his guilt, but then also denying it? Like, it was so strange to see it transpire. And I don't want to get too much into it because this is not an area where, like, look.
Yeah, you don't want to work.
I want to keep working in this town. There are sexual predators everywhere. Hollywood. The problem that I have with it is, this is what happens when Hollywood thinks it's the moral compass for the country.
Right. It's not. It's just as
it just
debauched
isn't. That's
as
why it's
the
so
it.
Laughable mm-hmm. when people get up and they speak out about Donald Trump. And look, let the people who don't live in glass houses.
Well, how about Ben Affleck? Ben Affleck comes out with a tweet, you know, just totally saying this is horrible and denounces everything Weinstein stands for, and then boom, within hours, people are showing a old TRL on MTV episode where he's grabbing the hostess boob, and Ben right. Affleck's response on Twitter, like 6 hours after his rant about Weinstein, was, "I apologize for that action."
Well, here's the thing: I'm not saying that's appropriate. Obviously, that's inappropriate, but this is like 16 years ago,
right? Right.
And you can see him in the video. Like, he's a skeezy dude.
And he looks like he's hammered.
And he looks extremely
Not that
hammered.
That's an excuse. Not that that's
It's not an
excuse
at all. But what I'm saying is, yeah, he was a disgusting guy. And he probably does this on the reg. Like, who was it this the other day? Shania Twain was going through it. No, not Shania Twain. The other girl. Mindy. Danny. Elizabeth, Taylor Swift.
Okay. Oh, right.
She just did that whole lawsuit about that guy copping a feel. Like, men are pigs, man. I get it.
Yeah.
And look, if you want to shame this guy for something he did a couple years ago, absolutely. But starting to pull out video from 16 years ago when he was clearly drunk, yeah, sure, it's inappropriate. And then, like, someone pulled out another video where he was doing something, but then the girl in that video claims it was part of a bit they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a really unfortunate aspect of the Hollywood industry, right? Is, yes, it's totally inappropriate for a man to do that. However, there are actually women who have used this system that way.
Sure, to advance their careers.
To further their ends.
And I'm sure there's flip side, too, where women, powerful women, have done the same thing, not just in Hollywood, but in any industry. That happens.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to make light of it. It's just that...
Yeah.
We have a tendency, you know, to flip the moral compass, you know, to make news more than anything right. these days. And it's unfortunate that that's the world that we've become. But it's, you know, there's only going to be more of it. This is, you know, this is going to lead to more of these stories in the coming, you know, weeks, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, my takeaway from it was, I thought it was very interesting that it started off as a story that 5 years ago, a week later, no one would have cared.
Right. I completely
agree.
But
the way that everyone is now, especially in this age of Trump,
right.
where everyone's very sensitive to everything now, it's like, and again, not that sexual assault was okay 5 years ago. Clearly it wasn't.
No.
But this is the sort of thing that would have just, okay, good.
Well, and it became political
immediately.
He's busted
now. And,
is that he was a huge supporter of the Democratic Party and hosted parties and put a lot of money in. And this is the face of the Democratic Party.
Right.
Type
and
of
then
thing.
For all, because the big party line from the Democrats was Trump is also a sexual predator.
Right. So, you know, it's.
So then it's like, well, okay.
Can you imagine
both sides. Wait, are you trying to say, John, both sides are garbage? Because it sounds to me like both sides are garbage.
Can you imagine the spin masters in the PR room at the National Republic or the Republican National Party when this news hit? They were like, oh, this is gold.
Yeah.
Let's run with this. We're going to blow this up. Yeah.
Well, see, it's because it's perfect, right? Because it's like. Oh, the Republican says, oh, look, Harvey Weinstein. And the Democrat goes, yeah, but Donald Trump. And then the Republican goes, Bill Clinton.
Right.
And it's like, well, that's yep, okay. Yeah.
That's where we are. That's the kind of world we live in today.
It's ugly. Anyway, I'll be interesting to see what happens with Harvey Weinstein. But does he get to do the, you know, he takes off for a few years and then works his way back in at a starting a little production company kind of thing?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if somewhere down the road Miramax does the Harvey Weinstein story.
I mean, Polanski still makes films.
Yeah, and more stuff's coming out about him.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not
great times.
Yeah, good times. So on that high note, we'll talk next week. Later.
Bye.